gosh, case number 6. 132256, Adnan Harik versus Holder. And hi, Mr. Murphy.
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court. My name is Tim Murphy, and I represent the petitioner in this case, Adnan Harik. Mr. Harik pleaded guilty to and was convicted of third-degree sexual assault in the state of Wisconsin. Thereupon, he was charged with removability and as having committed and been convicted of an aggravated felony for which the term of imprisonment ordered was at least 1 year. The immigration judge found him removable. That decision was affirmed by the Board of Immigration Appeals. Our position is that both the IJ and the BIA were wrong. The question becomes whether or not his conviction was an aggravated felony. The first part of that analysis is determining whether or not that particular statute describes a crime of violence under 18 U.S.C. 16. I think everybody agrees that under 16A it does not, as the threat, use, or attempted use of violence is not an element of that offense, as you can see by looking at the statute, which is on pages 77 and 78 in the record. So the question is third-degree sexual assault in Wisconsin a felony that by its very nature involves a substantial risk of the use of force? The first step in determining that is to apply what is called the categorical approach. That is to look at the minimum criminal conduct required to obtain a conviction under the statute and determine by that if the offense is necessarily an aggravated felony.
Where do you think the other circuits have gone wrong in concluding that a crime involving non-consensual sex presents a substantial risk that physical force will be used?
So I would look to the Wisconsin definition of lack of consent to sort of help answer that. And in the Wisconsin statutes, they describe no consent as either no consent in fact or no consent due to lack of understanding, ignorance or mistake of a non-criminal law, youth, mental capability, and various other factors. So I think that it's clear that there could be cases where intercourse took place and yet there was no risk of any violence happening, even though there is, under the Wisconsin law, no consent due to, for instance, misunderstanding a law.
But would you concede that engaging in sex without a victim's consent does present a substantial risk that physical force will be used to accomplish the crime?
I would only agree to that to a certain extent, and that is if the lack of consent is sort of lack of consent in fact, rather than, let's say, there was they didn't understand that they had a particular relationship which barred them from having sexual contact, they had sexual intercourse, there would be, under the Wisconsin law, lack of consent, but I don't think there would go along with that lack of consent the risk of violence. So I don't think that in every event where intercourse takes place, there is the risk of violence because of the lack of consent. And that's based on my reading of the Wisconsin statute's definition of lack of consent. Okay. Now,
you talk about lack of consent, though. I'm sure somebody is drunk or asleep, the victim. There's no consent, even though it takes place. But if that person were to become then more aware, I guess I'll call it, there could be some force that otherwise, if her, assuming it's her condition changed.
It's possible, but
well,
I don't
know how else. I mean, that's why it's like burglary. As long as nobody's there, there's no problem. But if somebody shows up, then you've got a threat. I think that was one of the comparisons, wasn't it?
It is. I think, though, that the question on the categorical approach is not whether it's possible, but whether, looking at the minimum criminal conduct required to obtain a conviction, it is necessarily an aggravated felony. That's the Lahren versus Yola case. Now, the position of the government and the IJ and the BIA in this case was that because the third-degree sexual assault statute punishes two types of conduct, that is, sexual intercourse without consent and sexual contact without consent, that it is a divisible statute, and therefore we go to the modified categorical approach. I think that's inaccurate. I think it's only divisible not because it punishes two types of conduct, but because it punishes two types of conduct where one is necessarily an aggravated felony and one is not. Again, we don't think that applies. Now, let's presume for a minute that it is appropriate to say that it's not, the government agrees it's not categorically a crime of violence, so we go to the modified categorical approach. That allows the use of plea agreements, plea colloquy, other factual findings to try to determine whether or not the offense in question was an aggravated felony. I remind the court at this point that it was the government's burden to show him removable by clear and convincing evidence, but there is none in the record that tells us, in fact, whether which of those two branches of third-degree sexual assault he was convicted of. The evidence relied upon by the government and by the IJ was the original criminal complaint filed against Mr. Heirich in the state of Wisconsin. He did not plead guilty to that complaint. He was not convicted under that complaint. And, in fact, at his plea hearing, the complaint was amended to third-degree sexual assault, and that's what he pled guilty to. According to the judge's words, he pled to the amended information. There's nothing in the record that provides any factual detail that shows that there was any risk of violence, any use of violence, or, in fact, anything else that would support anything other than mere lack of consent to sexual intercourse or sexual contact.
Now, when you say the or contact, you're saying that this contact could have been something much less than sexual intercourse.
That's correct.
Some sort of, I don't know what.
That's correct, and I think that's how the Wisconsin statute is written. Mm-hmm. Sub 3, which is third-degree sexual assault, has two varieties, sexual intercourse and sexual contact. So because there is absolutely no permissible evidence in the record of the nature of that offense, I think even under the modified categorical approach, we can't conclude that it was a crime of violence. And in the record, you'll be able to see at page 22 the amended charge, page 25 in the plea colloquy, the only thing he pleads to is lack of consent. Page 30, the judge finds him guilty in the manner and form charged in the amended information, not that original complaint which is cited by the government. So it's our position that under either analysis, categorical or modified categorical, this is not a crime of violence. The second part of that is that the sentence ordered was not 1 year, in our opinion.
Now, in terms of the penalty, isn't the relevant point that he was sentenced to 3 years of imprisonment, regardless of whether that was suspended and how much time he actually served?
I don't think so. And I think if you take a look at the sheet for his sentencing,
take a look at the statute, 8 U.S.C. 1101A 48 capital B. An offense is deemed to include the period of incarceration or confinement ordered by a court of law, regardless of any suspension of the imposition or execution of that imprisonment or sentence in whole or in part.
It's our position, however, that the February 17, 2012 order makes clear, the judge makes clear, and he says in so many words, what his intent to sentence Mr. Heirich was, regardless of what's contained on the cover sheet. He notes that the sentence was 1 year with daily release privileges for school and work, which we believe is a sentence of less than a year, and that he only granted this motion for good time because INS put a hold on him, which resulted in him being held for 1 year of straight jail, which the judge says is more than they deliver in similar cases and more than Mr. Heirich deserved. And the final thing I'll point out about that before deferring any of the rest of the time I have is that that's also some significant evidence, I would think, regarding the character of the offense that was committed and whether or not it was violent or risked violence. When the sentencing judge feels that 1 year jail time was more punishment than he deserved.
All right. Thank you very much. Come on up. Hi, Ms. Watson. No. Ms. Watson.
Good morning, Your Honors.
How are you?
Thank you. May it please the Court. My name is Joanna Watson on behalf of Respondent, United States Attorney General. And in the instant case, the agency properly determined that petitioner's conviction for third-degree sexual assault was a crime of violence, an aggravated felony crime of violence. And in so doing, the agency properly compared the crime that he was charged with, third-degree sexual assault under Wisconsin law, with the generic crime of violence offense. And here, because the third-degree sexual assault is divisible, it punishes sexual intercourse without consent and sexual touching without consent, we look to certain documents to determine what he was actually charged with. And here, he was originally charged, I believe, with second-degree sexual assault, and there was a complaint in that case. And they amended it with the third degree. And if you look to the plea colloquy, he specifically stipulated that he had sexual intercourse with the victim without her consent. So
that,
we know.
That was stipulated, you said? What did you say?
Well, yeah. The immigration judge asked him when he was pleading to the offense that these are the elements that we have to prove, and he agreed that, yes, I had sexual consent with the victim without her consent.
Well, the distinction between sexual intercourse and contact.
Yeah, he specifically said sexual intercourse.
That's not a question.
Pardon me?
That's not a question when we're talking about modified categorical approach. I'm trying to look. I want to make sure this is sexual intercourse and not just contact.
It was. That's what he pled to, sexual intercourse without consent, not the touching. And so in so doing, and then when you look to the generic under 16B, the generic sexual assault.
Take your time.
Sorry. It's not whether the person could be harmed or there's the violence has happened. It's whether it's inherent in the nature of the crime here, having sexual intercourse with the victim without her consent poses a substantial use that force could be used in the commission of the crime.
You know, let me ask you what I asked Mr. Murphy. For purposes of determining whether Mr. Herrick's term of imprisonment was at least 1 year, isn't the relevant reference point the suspended 3-year sentence rather than whatever term he actually served?
Yeah, I believe there was 3 years and then 3 years probation, but he was ultimately sentenced to 1 year incarceration here, so I believe in the brief I looked at the 1 year because it has to be a minimum of 1 year to be an aggravated felony. And he was arguing that because he had the possibility of release for work, but the actual, you look at what the term imposed was, not the term served. So whether he got good time credit or was allowed to be released, he's still in the custody and he was still sentenced to a term of 1 year.
Well, he was sentenced to 3 years.
Right.
He served 1 year.
Right, with a good time credit. But it's over a year for the aggravated felony. So. Yeah.
But that's the critical provision, 3 years imprisonment. You agree with that? That's the term. He was sentenced to 3 years imprisonment.
He got
3 years supervision. The court can suspend the sentence, but that doesn't make the 3 years go away. You're not saying that.
No. It's what
it's
was
a 3-year sentence.
Right. It's what
was
sentenced.
Just suspended, and he only had to do a year. Right?
Right.
Okay. You seemed a little unsure
about
that.
No, I know what you're referring to. The original sentence was 3 years incarceration and 3 years of probation,
yeah.
And then he was ultimately served the 1 year, and then he got the good time credit because he was provided with release privileges, mm-hmm. but because of the DH hold, he was no longer. So ultimately, and summing up, I mean, the commission of this crime places the inherent risk that substantial injury could happen when you're having sexual intercourse with somebody without their consent. And that's how it falls into 16B, the generic crime. Like I previously said, he was sentenced to the 1 year. It doesn't matter how long he actually served. It's the amount of the sentence or the 3 years. But he served the 1 year since aggravated felony crime of violence. And as such, we respectfully request that you deny the petition.
Thank you very much. Okay, Mr. Murphy, how much time does Mr. Murphy have? I'm going to... No, don't worry.
I'll just address the issue of the sentence. If the court takes a look at the cover page of the transcript of his plea and sentencing, there is a lot of type there describing his sentence, and it begins sentence 6 years, Wisconsin State Prison 3 years, initial confinement 3 years, extended supervision, consecutive, stayed, credit 4 years, probation. But the main key point there, because it's not a total sentence with the Department of Corrections of over a year, it's 1 year imprisonment. And you note the last line of that is 1 year house of correction. The further evidence of that is the February 21st order by the judge, where he clarifies that by saying that he had initially given him that 1 year with release privileges, and that the result of the ICE hold was 1 year straight jail, which was more than he intended to sentence him to. So I think the key provision there is the 1 year house of correction.
When you go home, I want you to take a look at 8 U.S.C. section 1101 in paren, lowercase a, in paren 48, and in paren capital B, because that language seems pretty clear. And again, it says, any reference to a term of imprisonment or a sentence with respect to an offense is deemed to include the period of incarceration or confinement ordered by a court of law, regardless of any suspension of the imposition or execution of that imprisonment or sentence in whole or in part. Okay.
Thank you, Your Honors.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Mr. Murphy. And thank you, Ms. Watson. And the case will be taken under advisement.